Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is the Home Show with me, your home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, to an absolutely stunning Saturday that will be completely wasted by me having to paint my house. Yay. But you know what? Here's the thing. I think this is not my producer's fault, but it's completely my fault because I'm the one that sets up my guests, and I'm outside. I just got my muffin, and I see somebody sitting in the parking lot. Like, hi, how are you? He's like, hello, Richard. I'm like, hi, can I help you? He goes, yeah, I'm talking to you on air today. I'm like, oh, yeah, Doug, how are you?
Richard, it is a pleasure to be here.
Doug,
hopefully a pleasant surprise.
You know, now that I think about it, I am brain dead sometimes. It just loses it. But you are the president
CEO.
And CEO of Feed More.
Yeah.
And I have been trying to get you guys on the air forever.
Yeah.
But you're very busy.
It's a busy job. It is.
It really is.
A lot of need.
But I took a tour of Feed More, like I said, about 4 years ago.
Yep.
when we launched the earlier show. If you don't listen on Saturday, which I understand,
yeah.
I think you got kids, right?
Well, no, I have older kids.
Right.
Who still seem to need me. That's another story.
That's another story for another time. But 4 years ago, we launched an early show. So it's 6 to 8 and then 10 until noon.
Yep.
And I wanted to be more interview oriented. And I thought Feed More would be a great one to have on. Well, it took me a little time, but here you are.
Here we are, yeah.
So why don't we learn a little bit about you before we jump into Feed More?
Oh, I'm not sure I'm that interesting.
I will be the judge of that.
Well, I've been at Feed More 7 years, Richard. Before that, I was an old corporate guy.
So, oh.
Yeah, so I had, I'm a Virginia guy. The hour before the Roanoke Home Show and everything going on, well, I grew up in Roanoke, in Big Lick.
Did?
And, yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I saw you walk in. One leg isn't shorter than the other one. Ooh. That's a Virginia joke.
I will tell my friends and family about that.
I don't care.
And and then became a UVA boy, and then got with IBM after that, and was up in D.C. a long time. It was 20 years with IBM, and then got down here to Richmond. Then went over to Central Fidelity, which was a wonderful little bank.
Which is long gone.
Long gone. I used to love their slogan, "We serve two states, excellence in Virginia." I used to love
I
that.
I do recall that. Yeah, that's going that. Back a ways.
Yeah, they were a class act. And then Wachovia bought us, and off I went to Capital One. So I had a fascinating 12 years at Capital One as an executive, kind of a turnaround guy. I helped start the auto finance business, founded a software company in Shanghai, China for us. No one knows much about. Started up project management, had an HR role, did a lot of things working with the CEO. Kind of semi-retired and hated it. I do not have enough hobbies.
Well, yeah.
I don't have your skill set, Richard.
You can't go. My skill set. you can't go from go to stop. It doesn't work.
Right. So got a little bit into coaching and was really bad at it.
Really? What were you coaching?
Well, when I went to a business coach, I went to Georgetown to get certified, and I said, why aren't there more ex-executives? It was a 9-month program. More executives here. And she said, oh, we hate two groups. I went, oh. She goes, yeah, no offense. We hate you and we hate lawyers. Sorry to all the lawyers out there. And I said, why? And they said, because you guys think you have to have all the answers, and a good coach only has to have a good question. And yeah,
that doesn't work at all.
Now think about
that's wrong.
Well, in my case, she wasn't wrong.
Okay.
So I kept trying to, well, I go, Richard, here's what you need to do. And really, you've got to get people to realize their own issues and deal with them themselves. And that's what coaches do. So I went, okay, this isn't it. And Jim Ucrop's a real dear friend of mine. I said, Jim, any nonprofits need some help? And he goes, well, Feedmore is looking for a CEO. So lo and behold, I put my hat in the ring and was lucky enough to get it about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
So it's certainly keeping me busy. There's no shortage of need in this community. And it's probably been one of the most, if not the most, fulfilling job of my life. And I've had some fun gigs. I really have.
Well, I mean, people don't realize. I mean, because Richmond, one, we just got noted as one of the destination cities, which imagine that.
Right.
Remember that what it looked. Remember Richmond in the late 90s now versus now. And there's a lot of money in Richmond. There's a lot of prosperity in Richmond, but there's still a lot of people that have need, and that's where you guys come around.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Now, I said earlier, I remember when you were the Central Virginia Food Bank.
Exactly. Good for you.
And so tell us how Feedmore.
Yeah, and then there was a Meals on Wheels program too, if you may remember, over there in Willow Lawn.
Is that where it was?
Yeah, it was in Willow Lawn. And the Central Virginia Food Bank was in a number of different sites. I think the last one before this building was out near the airport. So that was about 10 years ago, and both of these groups really, really wanted a big kitchen to try to help their clients. We call them clients. And they sat down with a number of the funders, one of them being young Rob Ucrop, and these funders said, golly, why don't we all come together and build one great honking kitchen? And so the two groups, God bless them, did, which is hard. You know, it's hard for nonprofits to kind of give up their identity and then come together. But they did it for the sake of the community. They did it for the sake of a great kitchen. And that's when they became Feedmore.
So they were able to put ego aside, is what
you're
saying. I've seen that happen with Masonic lodges where their numbers dwindle and they say, why don't we combine? They're like, okay, you join us. No, you're going to
join us. Right.
Okay, and then that's...
But and quite honestly, it was easier said than done. It took some growing pains some years after that to get us fully together and fully with a shared mission. But we are, and now we're one group. It is Feedmore, and it has lots of programs. Meals on Wheels still exist, and we can go into that whenever you want.
We will.
The food banks still exist, and then many other programs we've added. And it's gone well. It's gone well. It's probably the largest, in terms of money we have to raise each and every year, probably the largest in town.
Now, you say of all these different groups or programs working through Feedmore, are they independent of each other, or do they really have to work hand in hand?
No, pretty much have to work hand in hand. Right?
Okay.
So we try to address children because, you know, we believe they kind of got born into circumstances that they couldn't control, and they're our best hope, and why not invest in them? So we do a lot with children. We do an awful lot with seniors because, in our opinion, you know, they gave a lot to this country. You can't imagine the number of veterans we're looking after and others. And then we got to look after families in family units and try to make those folks as productive and prosperous as we can relative to.
And, you know, we've got 1 minute.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to talk about each individual part of it. I don't know. I'm probably putting you on the spot. Is there a backpack program?
There is.
Okay.
There still is. Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, I will. We will get into all of this. We will take your calls at 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. Real quick, do you have a website that they
can? We do. Feedmore.org.
Feedmore.org.
That's easy.
Not hard to remember that.
Yeah.
And you can ask questions of Doug. You can ask questions of me. Hopefully, Matt Paxton, my buddy, is going to call in.
That would be cool.
He's got a new program. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he didn't give me a job. Jerk. I could be on TV.
I'm going to be nice to you today.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Because my feelings are totally hurt. My name is Richard McCann, joined by Doug Pick. It is Pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the Feedmore. And this is The Home Show. Hey, if you're heading out to the Remodelers Convention out at the Convention Center, Miracle Method is out there, and they want to show you how they can transform your countertops, your tile, your tub in a couple of days. I mean, you ever tried ripping out a bathtub? It is a project you don't want to do, and you don't have to. With Miracle Method, they'll resurface it and it'll look brand new. So if you're heading out there, check them out. Miracle Method. Don't replace, resurface with Miracle Method. If you want to see the windows that Akey's Home Improvement is installing, well, then next on the 25th, you need to come on out to Meadow Event Park and check out the Winter Home Show. I'll be hanging out with Kirk Akey and the crew from 1 o'clock till 3. I'll slam that bowling ball against the window for you. Watch it bounce. First time he did it, scared the life out of me. Akey's Home Improvement, they're getting ready for spring, and you should be too. Give them a call, 216-9371, and I'll see you on the 25th at the Winter Home Show. WRBA, welcome everybody to a gorgeous Saturday. I am joined by Doug Pick of Feed More, the CEO and chief cook and bottle washer.
Indeed, I do some bottle washing.
There has to be a lot to it, because I mean, I've seen your program. I've been through your building. Okay. First of all, I have a thing for old buildings and old warehouses in particular.
We are that.
I love those old beams and it just really excites me.
Old tobacco warehouse.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I used to creep around before they became apartments. I used to creep around in all those things.
Down the bottom.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the Holocaust Museum was a mini storage. I kid you not. It was a mini storage.
And this is a young man I'm looking at here, folks.
Not that young. I'm just well preserved.
There you go. Perfect.
But you got a beautiful building. Let's start with the food bank. I'm using air quotes on radio.
Sure.
The food bank aspect of Feed More. Yeah. Let's, first of all, where's it all come from?
Yeah, so in the building, back to that, it's about 100,000 square feet, mm-hmm. about somewhere between 90,000 and 95,000 square feet. So it's a lot of folks are shocked at how large we are and given the need. Where does the food come from? Great question. So, a great deal, 40% comes from the grocery stores, believe it or not. We have 194 grocery store partners that we get our food from.
Okay.
Meaning that we work through 272 agencies. And so think of a church pantry. Think of all those folks who hand out the food. Feed More is much more of the wholesaler distributor. They're more of the folks who hand out the food. So if there are three or four churches around us, around a certain grocery store, whether it's a Kroger or an Aldi or whatever it may be. By the way, all these folks, Publix, Wegmans, all of them work with us and have been tremendous partners along the way.
Well, I can't imagine they're going to say,
well, it's great for them because it helps the community. It reduces their trash costs, which mm-hmm. is because if it doesn't get handed out, then eventually they have to throw it away. So we'll sign one church to the local store on Wednesday. Your church will go on Saturday and somebody will go, and they go pick up the food. They're all food safety certified, which is the only way the stores will let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You must be that. We don't charge for that food. once we hand it out.
And are we talking? Are we talking just boxes and cans? Or are we talking fresh meats?
Talking everything. Mostly try to do the dry goods, boxes and cans. Anything that's been prepared has to have never had the seal broken. Mm-hmm. We are very careful about food safety. The last thing we ever want to do is make someone sick. And by the way, those retail chains, the same with them. They don't want to make.
And you know what? It's really easy. I cook mishandling stuff.
Yeah.
I the other day I cooked some pork chops and. It was slightly pink in the center. It's okay. But I remember when I was a kid, pork had to be cooked all the way through.
Took a nice shade of brown in
there. Yes. Look, it bounces.
So so they're great partners, and it's great for our agencies and folks who pick up. So that's 40%. We get an awful lot from industry. So think of Smithfield. Gives us a tremendous amount of their product, whether it's hot dogs or pork or bacon. My God, Purdue just does great for us. They give us a tractor trailer load of chicken a week, sometimes two, if you can imagine.
I mean, I've driven past their plant out there on, 33?
Yeah.
And
well, we are blessed with that mixing center, the one south of Petersburg there. You know all the chicken processing plants we have all around the countryside? Well, they all go. There's only two mixing centers in the whole country for Purdue. Mm-hmm. We are blessed to have one in our service area. And they have an excess of chicken. They can never run out. They always have to have chicken available for when they get orders. So they overproduce. And guess who gets to have the benefit of that?
Winner, winner. Chicken dinner. See what I did there?
Very sorry.
Yeah, that was
very tricky.
Terrible. You know, and I what's fascinating me, we go to Bethany Beach.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I.
Rehoboth a lot.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And no matter which direction you're going, if you're coming out of D.C. or you're coming up, chicken farm.
Yeah. We're literally known as the chicken food bank on the East Coast.
Are you now?
We have that much. We have to use outside storage to store. And we'll barter with other food banks for what do you have. We've got a lot of chicken. And chicken is fantastic because it's protein, right? The protein is so important to these folks.
Solid protein, healthy food, can be cooked 1,000 different ways so you don't get bored of it.
Exactly. Who doesn't like chicken?
I don't think I know anyone.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Ever had alligator?
I have not met an alligator.
You have not had alligator?
Oh, I did, yes. Alligator, kind of a chicken salad, alligator salad.
Yeah, it tastes like chicken.
It was similar. Yeah.
It was tasty.
I didn't need to do it again.
You know what? That's when you need to start getting some alligators in.
Perfect. Well, we get the venison. The guys, the clubs, their times, they'll bring the venison for us.
Now, how does that work? Because that's wild game.
I'm not remembering the name of the group, but at times, they'll cure it and do all that kind of stuff. So it's not coming in raw or anything. But
okay, because I thought
been worked over, but yeah,
I thought I just pictured somebody pulling up in the back with a pickup, here you go.
We'd like to have the rack, please.
I bag two of them today. I'm not picking on hunters. But venison, that's amazing. Interesting little fact. I don't know if you remember weird stuff. And the reason I thought of alligator was in the South, they have a lot of chicken farms.
Right.
And a certain amount of chickens would die every day.
Right.
And they couldn't figure out, it just became a health hazard. What are you going to do? So they started alligator pits. And they started raising alligators and they feed the alligators the dead chicken and then they would sell the alligator.
Kind of an organic disposal.
Why not? All right, so you get most of the food, you said, 40%?
Yeah, so 40% from grocery stores, so we get a lot from these large manufacturers. Mondelez does great for us. Just a bunch of them around us and all around the country are just wonderful. And then we get some from the government. It's interesting. We are getting so much food right now from the federal government because of the trade situation, the trade war. We're spending money for our farm friends and trying to help them out, trying to keep them afloat. Matter of fact, we've given them as much money as we did on the auto bailout, it turns out.
Interesting.
It's about the same amount at this point, maybe going to go past it. And whatever anyone thinks of all that, we receive the blessings of that. So the federal government takes that and takes the food and is shipping it out to food banks all around the country.
That's incredible.
So we moved about, never I, amazing team around me. About 27 pounds. We'll go back to it when we come back.
Okay. All right. I'm joined by Doug Pick. Now, what this means is we have 30 seconds. That's what I'm trying to do to you. I'm going to make you a radio guy before this is over.
Before we know it.
You're going to be a natural.
Do I have a test?
we might.
This is it.
This Look, they threw me in feet first when I got this gig, okay? Yeah, and it's like, there you go, the mic's on. Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah. No. I'm joined by Doug. Do you like Doug or Douglas?
Doug. If you call me Douglas, I'm in trouble.
Okay. Douglas. Pick from Feed More. We're going to take your calls at 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And download podcasts at 1140 WRVA. This, my friends, is the Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio. WRVA. I'm joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. We have a call. You ready?
Sure. Yeah,
all right. Okay. And Joe in Midlothian.
Good morning, Doug and Richard. How are y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you,
Doug? Couldn't be better. Be criminal, Joe.
You know what? I hear you, and I agree with you, too. So I placed an order on Amazon a couple of weeks ago for some food products in cans. A case of it, 12 of them.
Yep.
They sent me the wrong thing and subsequently sent me the right thing. So I've got this case of canned food unopened that I don't want to throw away, but
he doesn't want to eat it.
On, I listened to the show fairly. Where can I bring this to help you guys out?
Oh, my goodness. There's I think Kroger still has some boxes at a lot of their stores. Or if you feel like heading downtown a little bit near the Diamond, come over to 1415 Road Miller Street, and we have a door that, quite honestly, somewhere between 5 and 15 folks bring food in every day. They cleaned out their pantries. Something like your situation happened. And what I'd like to let people know, when we do our food sorting, when all these Boy Scout drives and postal drives happen, which, quite honestly, gives us well over 100,000 pounds, so please participate when you see those bags on your doorstep. We get a lot of volunteers coming and sort all that. And you can still use food that's non-acidic in a can, like green beans, up to 5 years past its expiration date. And things that are acidic.
Yeah, they're beans. They're a bean product.
Perfect. So, great protein source beans. We love beans.
Can you give that address again by the Diamond, please?
Sure. It's 1415 Road Miller Street. Roadmiller.
They're right on the same road as the SPCA.
Exactly right. Salvation Army. Right there.
Okay.
A lot of us volunteers.
And then you also said there's certain Krogers that may have a drop box.
Yeah, they may have a drop box, Adam, and some boxes inside the stores. You'll see Feed More on it. I think they're still there.
Very good. I'll make sure this case gets to a good place and gets back into the system. And thank you guys for doing what you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
You have a great Saturday, Joe. Thanks.
You know, Richard, something I just got to talk about is the heart of this community and folks like Joe there in Chesterfield. You know, we have up to 200 volunteers a day. Sometimes 250 come over to Feed More to help us out. We have a staff of a little over 100. But we have twice as many volunteers every day.
So you got 350 people crawling through there every single day.
Not always in the building, maybe doing Meals on Wheels routes, but within the whole organization, all the work we do around our 29 counties and 5 cities. A lot of folks don't realize how big we are, right, in the area we cover. We go over to Williamsburg, up to Fredericksburg, over to Charlottesville, and all the way down to North Carolina. So a lot of urban between Richmond and Petersburg, a lot of suburbs and exurbs, and then a lot of rural folk who are really having a tough time these days.
Oh, you know, I remember when I took the tour, one of the things I heard, the lady I was, and I don't remember who gave me the tour. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. It's been that long.
Some wonderful person.
But it was. And I remember she's like, one of the problems they had is like, you guys got a call from New Jersey. There was a tractor trailer load of food.
Yeah.
But all you had to do is come get it, but finding someone to go up there and drive it down was...
You'd be amazed the calls we get. A lot of these guys who are deadheading or got a load that someone just mistake didn't want. Dollars to Donuts, we found one of our sister food banks. There's about 205 of them, by the way, in the country, similar to us. We're a large one, but 205. We probably found someone up there that was more than happy to unload that truck for them.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So we know that you get food from things like that.
Yep.
You get food from all the grocery stores, which is nice.
Yep.
Those food drives actually work.
They work. You know, it's it used to be. That's how food banks started, was folks just emptying their pantries. It started out in Phoenix, Arizona. St. Mary's Food Bank was the original food bank back in 1967. But we've grown so much past it. And now those food drives, believe it or not, relative to the 30 million pounds or close to what we moved last year, it's somewhere about 5% of what we do. And someone might say, a business person out there might say, well, gosh, is that worth your time and trouble? And absolutely it is. It allows people to participate. It allows people to feel good about themselves. I love the fact that it allows a lot of families to have their kids get involved so they can understand the joy of giving. So we will never give up what was our beginning with these food drives.
Now, I'm going to have to ask, if I'm going to fill a bag, which probably isn't going to happen. I'll be straight up honest with you. Very little stuff in my house is cans or boxes.
Yeah, well, you're the cook.
I got away from it. I just, you know. But what are you really, I mean, I know, mac and cheese, beans.
Sure.
But really.
Well, you know, you go through the protein, right? So peanut butter is always great.
Yes.
You know, if you have it, tuna fish, chicken salad, those things in cans are always great. You know, any of the dry goods, so pastas are wonderful. No jars. I was going to say, you know, marinara sauce, but jars don't do well with us, right?
But you can do the cans of Hunt's.
Sure you can. Sure you can.
You know.
Cereals, great for the kids. Oatmeal, any of that kind of stuff. So it's any canned vegetables. And we really would appreciate low-sodium canned vegetables.
Yeah.
A lot of our clients, Richard, suffer from diet-related diseases. Whether it's, I remember my numbers here, somewhere nearing 50% of our clients, someone in their family has diabetes or hypertension, high blood pressure.
And most, well, I've got high blood pressure.
Well, me too.
But, you know,
thanks, Hereditary.
I believe diabetes is an epidemic because of what people eat.
It is.
It's all coming down to diet.
We were food's the original medicine, and I've been with Feed More about 7 years, and the COO who was there, Norm Gold, a wonderful fellow. Said we've really got to do more movement of produce. We can't be part of the problem anymore. So 7 years ago, we were at about 18 million pounds of food and 13% produce. This last year, we closed in on 30 million pounds and was about 27% produce. Our goal is to get to 40% produce, which is hard because it costs money. I had to do a $2 million refrigerator.
I've seen it.
In order to increase that produce, right? And it doesn't last long. We've had to invest in a lot of these agencies to give them refrigeration. But these folks are so hungry for produce. It's like manna from heaven when we hand that out.
Well, you were saying that, you know, produce doesn't have that long of a shelf life because it's coming from across the country most of the time.
California and Mexico, sure is. So anything we can do to extend that, we do. As a matter of fact, we try to do things at scale, and folks have heard how large is what we do. Well, 30 food banks from Connecticut through Virginia came together and said, the biggest produce port in this side of the country is in Philadelphia. So we created a co-op of ourselves, you know, leased out a building. And Feed More gets now 1 to 2 tractor trailer loads a week of mixed produce from this port. And it's about as fresh as we can get. And then we do our best to get that out and get these to these folks.
That's fantastic.
Got to address that issue.
Unbelievable. And I imagine, though, because there's plenty of stuff. You do have a kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When I got in there, I'm like, I want to play.
You know, you might be a little disruptive.
I
don't know.
I don't care. but you have an immense kitchen for your Meals on Wheels program.
Stunning.
Now, I would imagine when you have those veggies that are getting ready to go.
Right.
That's when you shift that stuff into the kitchen?
Yeah, absolutely. So lots of different places, sources. So certainly what we bring in from Philadelphia and other places. Shalom Farms is one of our great partners. Dominic Barrett runs that and out in Powhatan. I love those guys. I think we get close to 80,000, 100,000 pounds from Dom and his gang.
Wow.
Lewis Ginter has a stunning, you would love this, stunning, beautiful garden. That produce goes straight to the kitchen.
I took a tour. I didn't see the vegetable
garden.
Yeah, it's
over. Yeah, you'd have to have it pointed out.
True story. When I was still a contractor, I got called to a house, and his property backs up to Lewis Ginter.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy, his yard looked like it was Lewis Ginter. I mean, he spent that much time on his yard.
Well, a lot of pressure to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, I know. I don't even like to cut my grass. Sorry. I don't.
But
I
you are going to paint your house. So that's
I have no choice. Okay, when the city comes and they leave us a love letter on your front door, and they're saying, you got to paint your house. And I'm like, it's winter. And I don't take the ladders like I used it's difficult.
But so that kitchen, you know, we're up to 20,000 meals a week now. It's just amazing. There's only about, I'm losing track, probably 9 paid employees, but every day we'll have between 30 to 60 volunteers in there working with those employees making those meals.
And is that breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
No, we don't do breakfast. We do some lunches for the seniors and certainly dinners. There's about 10 different menus, if you can imagine, diets.
Mm-hmm.
So we do low sodium, we do renal, we do mushy food, we do no eggs, no peanuts. It's amazing how we look after these seniors. And then we also feed a lot of kids with this, the after-school meals. And I love that part because we were able to help these kids. The government certainly never covers all of our costs, but they do pitch in a little bit for these programs where the kids are getting some extra help.
Let's talk to Vinny real quick.
Yeah.
Vinny in Williamsburg.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. What I had seen was in Costco several months ago, they were loading a pallet of potatoes and throwing them out because they were starting to grow the ears. I mean, my mama and probably your mama, we take those off and use them.
Yeah.
I mean, have you reached out to the big corporations such as that one to say, okay, we can take this from your hands, or is this a health issue?
No, and I don't know how far gone they were or weren't. We work with all those folks. We work with the Walmarts of the world. Matter of fact, we're blessed with this Walmart depot over in Louisa. We literally back a tractor trailer up to that, and when they fill it up, they call us, and we get it immediately, and then back up another one. So Costco's and all of them, when they have things at the and they with my teams that work with them, they kind of know the requirements and the guidelines.
And you got to figure, since stuff is being transferred so darn far, some of it is going to spoil before and,
it is,
and they're going to start digging in and go, oh, okay,
yeah. And look, we have some disposal waste every month that it's significant into the thousands because we're simply not going to hand it out if it's not right. But those are some of the chances we take and have to take to give it a shot and see if we can't do something for these.
I got a solution for that. Vinny, thanks for calling, buddy.
Thanks, Vinny.
Thank you, guys.
All right. I'm Rich McCann, joined by Doug Pick from the Feed More. Give us a call, 833-804-1140. This is The Home Show. McCann, News Radio WRVA. I am joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. Yeah, we're keeping you the whole time because we're almost done in 1 hour.
Right on.
And there's still so much more.
I wish
to do.
People were here, to watch how you talk. This man talks with his hands like you wouldn't believe. It's totally lost.
People really. I've had people come in here and say that to me all the time. They're like, look at him. He's just flapping around. And I'm Irish, I'm not Italian. I took an Italian class one time, and the professor, he was Italian. He says, is there any questions? And I raised my hand, smart aleck that I am. He says, yes. I said, if I tie your hands behind your back, can you talk? And he looked at me and said, no. But you're saying that there is a certain amount of waste.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. Especially fresh organics.
Right.
I'm here to tell you about something that I've seen and may be able to help you in the future. Mm. I was checking out. It was a large, let's say a tent, a sealed plastic tent. And the purpose was to dump food waste, specifically vegetables
and organic fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And what it did was this thing siphoned off the methane into the house and fed a burner for cooking food.
Wow.
That's the future. The future.
Oh, sure.
The future, because organics, you listen to the people that are all about, we got to save the planet, green, whatever. Instead of complaining about making methane, harnessing it.
Right.
That's where that.
They talk a lot about that. And I'm not getting outside of my bounds here, but landfills and all the methane involved there, and I think people are trying to capture all that huge scale. I think
right out in the West End, there's SB Cox has a landfill.
Uh-huh.
Okay, huge company.
Yeah.
They made sure that as they filled it in. They laid the pipes. They draw methane off the landfill, runs a generator, which runs the whole darn thing.
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, we shortcut a little bit, Richard. We call the pig farmer.
Do you now?
So it is. There's a number of them that we call, and they're happy to have it, and it saves us from the disposal. We have looked in for folks who know about composting and whatnot. In our site, we're just landlocked, and the ability to kind of try to do something like that, it just isn't. It can't do it if we have more land.
Maybe. But at least you're not going to outgrow that place anytime soon.
Well, we're doing some things. I need to. When we had direct store pickup, those grocery stores we talked about earlier, they used to bring that food to feed more. Then we'd hand it back out. Well, you lose 2 days in, 2 days out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that much shelf life. So we said, this is really inefficient. And I bring all my business practices into it. Or we do. Now they do direct store pickup. So we bought 25% space, and we may have to do a little jiggering with our warehouse, buy 25% more, and then we're about done. We should be about a 35-million-pound food bank. That would satisfy the need of the 193,500 and some odd folks that we serve.
Incredible.
47,000 of them are children, by the way.
Well, I mean, I've had people on here talk about it before. You know, people hear the word food desert.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, now, first of all, if you live in Richmond, you're thinking, food desert? I mean, go to Carytown. There's a grocery store across the street from a grocery store, across the street from a grocery store, and in that corner, there's a grocery store.
Right.
And people say, what food desert? But by definition, a food desert is no place to buy
food.
Groceries.
In urban areas within a mile.
And
if the population is, you get this right, 30% of the population is under the federal poverty line, and 25% of the population is not within a mile of a grocery store. And in my rural areas, because we serve them equally, it's not within 10 miles of a grocery store. There are several counties in our 29-county area that have no grocery stores at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those are food deserts, right?
Oh, I was just watching something the other day. They were saying there's areas in this country, there's no grocery store. People end up buying their food at Dollar General.
Well, and you know, and it's interesting. Dollar General actually cut into a little bit into the food bank industry because the store chains realize and the manufacturers of food realize they could get another turn of the crank of the profit by giving to those stores. So they quit giving to food banks and gave to those stores. So some of that stuff's expired too.
Oh.
And that's fine. I'm an old capitalist, and I'm all for making money, right? I mean, I think that's makes our world go round.
I'm not just a capitalist. I'm an objectivist.
Oh.
Yeah, the look on his face. Actually, it should be the look on my face. Do you know how many people don't know where that is?
There you go.
My wife, I told her, I handed her a copy of Atlas Shrugged.
You
have to read this before we get married.
Yeah. that was the only part of the prenup.
It took her 6 months, but plowed through
it. Big, dense read, right?
And for those of you who are listening and don't know what I'm talking about, read Atlas Shrugged. And I guarantee, now this book is 60, 70 years old.
It's been, yeah.
Okay.
Ayn Rand.
Yeah. And everybody I've given it to will call me up and say, I'm screaming at the radio, it's happening now, it's happening now. And people have been saying that for this last 70 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Way
yeah.
off track.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. but we divert.
But like I said, I live on Fulton Hill.
Yeah.
The closest grocery store is way down on 25th Street, which is far more than a mile.
Yeah.
Or I go the other direction to the Food Line, which is more like 3 miles.
Sure, yeah,
so we have these little, I call them bodegas for lack of a better word.
Yeah, expensive. Sometimes we call them those food swamps. Because a food swamp is, there's a gas station little snack shop. So there is food. It's nothing you should live off of.
Well, God bless them. They do try.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, it's not like they can have fresh veg.
No, and a lot of them in town. There's been some great programs with Tricycle Gardens and Shalom, a few others that trying to put some produce in those. I really applaud that and appreciate the effort. But from my side of the business, what we do is it's the scale is what matters. And there's so many hungry people, and that is a great start. But scale is really what we have to get to.
Yeah. And I mean, do you do any cooking programs?
We don't. There are food banks that do. One of the things, there are other people around town that do that. You know, there's this wonderful new grocery store, the Market at 25th.
Haven't been there yet. It's close.
It's, you know, this gentleman, Steve Markell, of Markell Company fame, felt he really wanted to address this food desert situation, and out of the goodness of his heart, with no agenda, trust me, he has built this grocery store down there, the market at 25th. He also has provided a lot of ability for J. Sargent Reynolds to do their culinary institute there. And that's not up and running, but that's going to be a tremendous program to help those in that area gain some skills. We're a big restaurant town, you know that. Always looking for good talent and good help. And that's it's a wonderful little Bon Secour has a health clinic there, right in that same spot. And Norm Gold, this wonderful guy, our old CIO, is the one running that store. And if you haven't been down there, please give it a shot. They could use some extra business. It's a beautiful store, and trying to address the food desert side, the low income, and trying to appeal to the folks who don't have that issue.
Well, see, I told you about my friend Lisa. She was She runs the Black Women's Health Organization. And talking with her, talking with several of the gyms I've gone to, talking with some of the different health weight loss programs, because let's face it, we're fat, diabetes is up. Yeah. What I've seen with every single program is they'll tell you, well, you can eat this and you can't eat that, but they don't tell you how to make it.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We team up with a lot of folks who help people learn how to cook and how to cook. Matter of fact, we do a mobile distribution. So in these food deserts we were talking about, we will go do a mobile distribution. So we'll bring our truck in, and we'll have anywhere from 5 to 10,000 pounds of very balanced diet, right? Produce and protein and everything else. And Bon Secour has a thing called the caravan. It's not the caravan, it's the other van. Anyway, it's a roving kitchen, and it's a cooking demonstration.
All right.
And so we'll say, hey, we're going to bring green beans on this. So they all show up with us and do green bean recipes and have a cooking class while people are waiting in line to get their food that we distribute to them.
Oh, we've got some.
Oh, it's the classerole.
The classerole?
The classerole, that's what it is.
It's worse than the joke I made earlier. Classerole. Yeah, you know, there was just a bunch of people sitting around the table.
We could call it this.
What about this? That's not dad joke enough. Well, I'm joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. I got you. We're not even. I told you, it
hey,
goes
I'm
fast,
it.
And there's plenty more to
it
talk
goes,
about.
It goes like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, it does. It. Yeah. I tell people that this is my TARDIS. Yep, you don't get it either.
Yeah, I don't.
Not a Doctor Who fan. My name is Richard McCann. This is The Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. Give us a call,
833-804-1140. And here we go.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to hour number dos of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your Humber, home improvement guru. I have a very special guest with me, Doug Pick from Feed More. Feed More is two words.
It is. It used to be one word, and we decided it's now two words.
Okay.
Yeah, we went through. It's interesting to talk a little business. We, you know, our brand, everyone knew the Central Virginia Food Bank. You knew that right off the tip of your tongue. Everyone knew Meals on Wheels. But when I joined, I'd say, well, I'm Doug Pick with Feed More. And people look at me and scrunch up their face. And I mean, you know, the food bank and Meals on Wheels. Oh, yeah.
Hey, you want to take a call?
Yeah.
833-804-1140. Darlene in Midlothian.
Yes, I have a question for Doug.
Sure.
Our church, we support Bainbridge. Bainbridge is a distribution center for people who are not qualified for welfare, but just need a little extra help.
Sure.
Sometimes at the end of the month, or they have family members that moved in with them and they just can't make it. And we can supply them with pantry items, but produce and meat and dairy is a little hard. And I was told by Bainbridge, if they need those items, I asked why they couldn't get them from your organization, and they said they had to buy them. How can we have to? You get them for free. I don't understand why you would sell them to people who need them.
Yeah, so the way that works, it's not the food. It's for operating services, and some of that will depend. So one of the things, this is before my time, and it's a practice that's been in food banks around the country for a good amount of time, is they're called, it's called a maintenance fee. On the produce, it could be as little as 4%, 4 cents on the pound. On the chicken, it might be as much as 19 cents a pound. And what food banks way back when decided was, in order to do more, we wanted the agencies that we were helping out with to be able to help us be able to provide the operation that we do, which is a very expensive operation. So there are some maintenance fees. By law, we don't charge for the food, but the services that are rendered and the transportation and the trucks, we have a fleet of 17 trucks, the 100 folks employees, that's where some of that comes. The bread can be free. Some of it just depends. But there can be some fees involved for some of the food. You're exactly right. And that's kind of the business of what we have to do in trying to find win-wins for everybody.
The lights have to stay on.
Yeah, and it's a good debate. I appreciate the question. It's a good debate. And what my goal has been, the mission has been, is to feed as many people as I can. And if I can try to find a way to defray some of the costs, what we get from that is very little in the end with what we have to raise. We have to raise about $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. And some of those fees help defray. They'll come close to covering, heck, not even near 10% of it. But, yeah, that has been a practice. It was in place when I got there, and I have kept it in place. It's kind of a standard practice with food banks in around the country.
Does that help you out, Darlene?
No. Yeah. I don't think you should charge people who need food when you get it for free. I know. I realize there's a cost involved for you, but I.
Well, we don't charge the clients. This is the agencies who are paying this.
But Bainbridge is a volunteer. There's no. The only money they receive is volunteer money. So they don't. They're not making any money. They're just distributing food to people who need it.
Sure.
And we our church used to pick up food from Kroger once a week. They gave us all their baked goods. Mm-hmm. And when your organization came in, they said to Kroger, "No, you can't do that anymore." And we used to have we still do. We feed the hungry. We have a kitchen. In a church that we go to, and we feed them lunch every day. But we can't have the baked goods anymore because if we want them, Food Mart told us we had to pay for them.
Well, Darlene,
when we used to get them free.
Darlene, okay, yes. And I can tell you're passionate, okay? In fact, I'm talking to two people that are passionate about what they're doing. Yeah. But this is a longer debate than something I can do on radio.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. But you know what? This is a conversation that can continue.
Sure, and darling, you should feel free to call me. I'd be happy to carry on the conversation, or my email is dpick@feedmore.org. And the thing with some of the grocery stores and the Feeding America Network, grocery stores are very concerned and afraid of their food not being handled safely under the right health conditions, and people get sick and then they get sued. So the reason that they have this relationship with us and all the food banks in the country is because we make all of our agencies go through every year mandatory food safety requirements, and that allows them to provide a lot more food to us. But on the other hand, I'm happy to talk to you about your church becoming an agency that could then get one of those slots at that store. So happy to work with you on this. Really am.
Thanks so much, Darlene.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
I can understand passion.
No, it's and look, that's, you know, the older I get, Richard, I think there's a lot of right answers.
I got to take this call.
You bet.
Matt Paxton.
What's up, man?
You, sir, how are you today? I understand.
I'm good, man.
I understand you've got yourself a shiny new TV show.
I do, a new show on PBS called Legacy List with Matt Paxton. It starts today.
Now, I check my mail pretty regularly, and I don't see where you invited me to be part of your cast and crew.
That is correct. I did not invite you. You are correct.
You're a jerk.
This is a show about finding history, not being history. So that's what we got to.
This is what my friends do to me. Sir. You see how this works. Matt, I want you to call in because you're having a pretty big shindig today, and I want you to tell everybody about it.
We are, man. We're having a premiere at the Bird, like they would do in Hollywood at a big theater. We're doing it at the Bird in Richmond, and we got about 500 people coming, and they're going to show one of the episodes that we filmed here in Richmond. Of Legacy List, and it's $2:00, $5, and it, of course, all money goes back to public media, and kind of like the conversation I just listened to. We gotta keep the lights on, so we gotta charge $5 to get everybody in the theater. But it's a really cool thing. I used to go to the Bird with my dad. We used to go to the Alfred Hitchcock matinee on Sunday afternoon.
I was
it was a buck.
I was going through a drawer in my house and I found a Bird buck. If you know,
yeah, yep.
That was where you could instead of paying a dollar, you'd buy a Bird buck for 50 cents, and I found. Yeah. And I told somebody at the Bird, they said, that thing is expired. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, they don't want you using it. Yeah, exactly. No. But it, we used to, my dad would do his coin laundry across the street. It's now like a Vietnamese restaurant or something. Okay. But it was a laundromat when I was a kid. And we would do his laundry. And then, of course, Tarrytown was closed down on Sundays back then because of the Blue Laws. And but it was really cool. So yeah, 30 years later, we got a premiere of my new show.
And real quick, tell us what Legacy List is all about.
Legacy List is, most of you would know me from the Hoarders TV show, and that's a little extreme. It's a little dirty, but this is my new show, and it's about finding history in our parents and grandparents' attics. You know, I help a lot of families downsize and move, and we always found interesting things in their basements and attics. And this is a show about helping them find the really cool stuff and hearing the stories. And I think, Richard, that's what I've always loved about your show is it's about stories. It's not really about stuff. And
I appreciate that. That was nice of
him. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And it's actually true. And this new show is great because I get to sit down and I'll say, hey, this is your grandpa's, art. Great. Tell me about your grandpa. Mm. I don't care how much it's worth. I want to know the story about your grandpa, about your grandma. I want to know how you got it. What did he do? You know, we found a 44-star flag in a house a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, 44 stars. I'm like, holy cow. You start thinking, like, what are the other six states? And when is this from? And the flag was from the 1889.
I've got a 48 at home, but not a 42, a 44.
Yeah, 44. Yeah, and I'm like, how did you get this? How did you get this?
The world is moving so fast, right? And people had their heads buried in screens. These stories, I've seen the commercials for this, and these stories, we need to keep hearing those stories. We need to take a minute and listen to these stories and not let that go in the world.
Yeah, that's my goal. People say, what do you want to come out of the show? I said, dude, I want people to go home. I want you to watch it, and I want you to call your grandma or sit down with your grandpa.
Now, Matt,
where he was during the war.
You know how radio works. I'm up against it. When can we see the show on television?
Television, January 20th at 9 p.m. on PBS.
Matt Paxson.
On BPM.
Dude, I appreciate you calling in, and I'm going to have you come into the show at some time soon.
I'll do it, man. Thanks for always supporting me, man. I appreciate you guys.
Later. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. McCann News Radio, WRVA. Big thanks to Matt Paxson for calling in. And if you want to check out his new show, his premiere is at The Bird today at 2 o'clock, and there are some tickets left. That's a big room to fill.
Very cool Bird Theater.
I love that place.
Yeah. There's a spring at the bottom of it.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, it's a number of springs in the city. One of them is in Westover Hills, Wayside Springs Park. And you look up Bird Theater Spring, and they put a concrete room around it just to keep it, I guess, in hand. You can't see it; it's locked up. But it's go on the web. And
I've gotten to crawl around in some pretty cool buildings in Richmond. So far, one of the neatest. They call it the Rep now. It used to be Theater 4.
Oh yeah,
but it's the Rep right on Broad Street.
Right
on Broad. And they've done major renovations to that place, but they had a plumbing problem, and I went over there. I said, okay, how do I turn off the water? And they just looked at me with that blank stare, like. And so I started going into the bowels of that place. It goes down almost three stories.
No kidding.
And there is a boiler the size of a half of a boxcar.
Oh my lord.
All the way in the bottom. So
wow.
The Bird is on my list.
Yeah.
And
Theater 4, they do great work there.
They do.
By the way, this man sitting with you, he's quite the Renaissance man. Theater, ballet, opera.
I love the opera.
He does it all.
I like power. Okay, I don't watch sports. Yeah. I don't watch sports. Okay. But when you start looking at something like ballet and realize the hours and days and weeks and months and years they put into it, or if you're hearing an opera singer and realizing they're not using a microphone
right.
Even if you're in the nosebleeds, they're not using a microphone. Yeah. It's
pretty impressive.
It's a little piece of... I went to my first opera when I was in high school. Everybody else is dressed up. I'm sitting there in jeans and a leather jacket. Mm. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
stunning
that.
Stunning what they can do. Yeah, he's got it all, folks.
I'm all right. I'm okay. So, Doug from Feedmore, yeah. For people that are just tuning in. Yeah. So we've talked about donating. We've talked about... Once the food gets there, though, you've got a whole crew just to go to sort through it, because the room is humongous.
Yeah, you know, it's huge. There's six different bays, you know, 100,000 square feet, half of that being storage. When I got there, it took me about 3 days. I went, this is a logistics business. It's food in, food out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
A fleet of 17 trucks, right? And that we've talked about how large the land area is that we cover. But just Meals on Wheels, right? We serve 808 a day. Seniors who are in such need, meals right to their door. Well, that's done by volunteers on 92 different routes. And each route will be about 8 to 12 seniors. So we take their meal with their diet, with their name, to put it in the right route, to put it in the right container, to put it in the volunteer's car with directions on where to go with this route. The complexity of this blows your mind.
I've seen the room. They come in. Here's your route for the day. Here's all your stops. Map quested out and printed.
Totally printed.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
I was like, don't people have GPS?
No. Well, we do both now.
Okay.
We do both now. Yeah. But it's the complexity of just the Meals on Wheels and what we do and the care. And we call it, Meals and More. Because these seniors are social, by definition, how they get with us, they're socially isolated. So oftentimes this Meals on Wheels driver and deliverer will be the only person they'll see that day and chat with. Do health and safety checks, all of that. So it's a really, really neat program.
I really liked the fact that you can check, because you have contacts for each customer.
Right.
Because, that's the biggest fear in the world, is that if you're someone older, living by themselves...
Yeah.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Exactly. Well, we have all the emergency contacts. We have all the family members. A lot of the family members are in another town, right? And they're just so tickled that someone's helping feed their parents and doing these safety checks. But if they don't answer the door, we will call them. They're right outside my door. And I hear this, hello, Meals on Wheels is there. Please open the door. But if they don't, then we call that emergency contact. And the stories are too long of the number of folks that we've helped out who had either fallen or we're too sick or whatever, because those emergency contacts then know they've got to check in. So it's a stunning program that helps these seniors that have helped this country so much. And I've always believed in giving back to seniors. My grandpa lived to be 108, and so I am
time out. Time out. 108.
Healthy right up until a few days before he passed away. He caught a cold, and then we just figured he gave up the ghost at that point. He was a Canadian, Nova Scotia.
Kind of hardy.
Kind of hardy. I know I talk about food and health and everything else, but I must admit that this man started smoking when he was 14 and drinking when he was 16 and lived to be 108. But the trick to Grandpa is he says, why'd you live so long? I chewed my food slowly. That's what he always say. Well, the trick to that is he never went real fast, but he never sat still. Like the tortoise and the hare, he was the tortoise. He had a very steady life. Never drank to excess. Never smoked to excess. And he loved life. You see him, and he was, at one point half deaf and partially blind. How are you, Grandpa? And he goes, great to be alive. Great to be alive. So you can see he's one of my role models and one of my real heroes.
Are you planning on living to be 108?
I don't know. If I could be as active and love life as much as he did, at 64, I love life like you wouldn't believe. And if that doesn't go away, heck yeah, I'll go.
Honestly, I wouldn't have guessed 64. I mean, yeah. I know there's some snow on the roof, but, I'm 47, by the way. If you were
kidding.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have given you that.
I am 47 years old.
I had red hair, and I still think it's red, but apparently people think it's not.
No. No, you're not a ginger anymore.
You're not going there with me. Okay.
Enable you in your own personal delusions. It's not my job.
So we tell them I'm sitting here at about 170 pounds, not an ounce of fat?
Not even close.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a good looking man. I'm okay. I know who I am.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'm comfortable with myself. Yeah.
The kitchen is probably one of the most impressive parts of this whole thing.
Yeah. It's in many ways, I won't say it's the heart and soul, but the volunteers, that's got to be one of the absolute volunteer favorite jobs. And we have regulars, believe me, people there every Wednesday, every Tuesday. It's just, and the color of all the produce, because we're just, all from scratch. All from scratch.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, all from scratch. So it's we've had folks, we are the only food bank in the country who has a Meals on Wheels program and a kitchen. So we are visited anywhere from 2 or 3 times a year by other food banks who want to come see what we do. And what we hear from the folks in Feeding America, the umbrella group, is that we're certainly not the largest at 30 million pounds. Big ones do 70, 75 million pounds a year.
Yeah, but you're talking LA, Chicago, New York.
But they say we are the most complex food assistance group in the whole country because of this food bank and this really complex Meals on Wheels and this amazing kitchen. And I love it. It's hard to manage, but the team and the people we have just make it hum.
Hey, love what you do. You never work a day in your life. Take it from the guy who gets up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. True story. When I got married, I told my wife, we're never going out on Friday and Saturday. I'm probably going to be collapsed by 5 o'clock. And she married me anyway. Richard McCann joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. Give us a call, 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. This is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. This is The Home Show. I'm joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. 833-804-1140 is the phone number. Oliver in Chester.
Hey, buddies.
Hey,
I just want to say, hey, first off, that fella comes on with the muffler shop talking about Feed More all the time. And
Mark Smith.
Good stuff. You know.
Yeah, Mark Smith, he's a machine.
Mark Smith is an amazing guy. He's so important to this community. It's not just us. It's Gutzland Cares and St. Joseph's Villa. And he is sincere.
Right, he talks about he went through the same kind of stuff when he was young and had a hard time getting something to eat every now and then.
His mom would take a gallon of milk and water it down and make it work for them. And he has lived it. He's been there. And if you ever wonder if he's just making this up, it's not. He's as authentic as the day is long.
Look, he seems as genuine as the day is long to me.
And it's been good for his business. He's the top Midas guy in the entire country. So good business, doing good for people in business can work,
Absolutely.
It can work.
It certainly does. Well, anyway, what I was going to say, about 30 years ago, I worked for this construction company in old fella named Otis Martin. He was a parts runner, and after he got off work, he went to Winn-Dixie and bagged groceries.
Sure.
And that's when Winn-Dixie was in Dutch Gap.
Yeah.
And he would bring a pickup truck. He would fill a pickup truck up with potato chips, crackers, cookies that had done went out of date, but it was still fine and good.
My mom used to buy the day old bread.
Oh yeah.
Well, you get it, And then when they built this new shopping center, when they moved to the new shopping center, mm-hmm. on down the street across from Bermuda Square, where they wouldn't let them take them out no more. And I always figured it was tax reasons. You were concerned. You were saying they might be concerned about, getting somebody sick or whatever.
That's
if you're giving that away, you're giving that away. I remember, when I was young and I worked at Richfield as well, and as an order selector in the warehouse, you would go around at the end of the night, a couple fellas would go around and a piece of, a half gallon of ice cream done hit the ground, you had to throw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a guy right there with a clipboard marking off. So I figured they're taking it off on the taxes. I don't know what's going on, but it's still good. Hell, a lot of times I would just rip it open and take a bite of it before I threw it in the trash can.
There it was asking you to do that very thing.
There you go. Oliver, that's a good story, and I appreciate it, brother.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, friend.
I'll tell you a story. I've told this on air. My parents don't have a problem with me.
Yeah. All right.
So my parents got married early 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. It was 1974. Mm. We were living in Cumberland.
Yeah.
If you've ever been down there. And my dad was running a plumbing business that was not doing well. Things just got really tight all of a sudden. People say, I'll get to you, Charlie. I'll get to you, Charlie. I'll get to you, Charlie. And my mom tells me this story. My dad tells the same story. The same details. Said they were just sitting at the dining room table. They had two kids and going, what are we going to do? Because there wasn't any food in the house. And I say this to this day. I will love Mormons forever. Out of the blue, like God himself said something, the phone rings. It was their next door neighbors. They were Mormons. They kept a huge pantry because of their beliefs.
Their beliefs, exactly right.
And they said, we are rotating our pantry. Would you like it? The food? Now, they didn't know anything was going on, nothing. Yeah. And my parents went over there, and they said, we ate off of it for a month.
Yeah. You know, that's a great story. And just imagine being your mom and dad, right? I mean, and the sense of what they can do because the obligation to feed the family. And these are who we're helping, right?
Sense of desperation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And for, by the way, good people, right? Hard workers. And if we can take a minute, let's talk about some of the folks we feed. One of the things I learned, and shame on me that I didn't know it, during the federal shutdown last year, there's lots of things about who's in trouble and this and that. Well, who knew that half of this country doesn't have 50% doesn't have $500 at time of emergency. Doesn't have $500 at time of emergency. 50% of the country.
I honestly say it's more than that.
Oh, you may know better than me.
I don't know.
I was a little surprised it was that big.
I say that number's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
Well, so that's who we look after. So, suppose you get a $300 car bill. All the time we get this. $300 car bill, they don't have $300. The car, and this is simple repair, right? At $300.
Sure.
It's so expensive anymore. They couldn't get the car repaired, they lose their job. And so folks, and the thing, they come to us. So folks don't eat off food banks or us all the time. Our clients use us anywhere from 1 to about 7 or 8 times a year. And the percentages are probably equal in the middle. Only about 60% of them have food stamps. I always tell people, make sure we understand it's not, people don't aspire to live off food stamps enough.
No.
Food stamps are $4.39 a day per person. Pretty hard to live off that. It can be done, but you don't get much food. You don't buy produce. And they use us when they just get into that spot. They couldn't, just like your dad, right? Or their car broken for a month all of a sudden until they get the next job.
Cliche as it sounds, it's a hand up, not a handout.
Yeah, well, we believe strongly, and it's something we talk about oftentimes at Feed More. We know that we feed people. We think we should do more than that. So we say we want to nourish the community and we want to empower lives.
I like that.
And nourish the community is about food, but we think it has to be healthy food. We've already talked about the produce. With all those volunteers we get every day, up to 200, we think it's our job to nourish their souls. We think it's important that they come in and do hard work. We don't let them sit around. They came there to work. They didn't come to sit around. So we want to make it a good experience and we have to nourish their souls. But it's not enough because food doesn't fix everything. So we believe we have to help empower people's lives. So I'm always looking for a chance to team up with other nonprofits, whether it's health systems, whether it's transportation groups, whatever it may be, let's put these folks at the center, and they struggle with equally with food, with housing, with transportation, with health. And I'm always looking for ways to try to empower them so they don't need us. The only business I never wanted more customers, right? I've been a guy at IBM and Capital One, I always wanted all the customers we could get. This time, we want to feed the line and we want to shorten the line. And that's what they want.
One of my favorite interviews last year, it was last December, November, is we had some of the people that formed the community Thanksgiving that's done at the convention center.
That's stunning.
It was unbelievable. I was staggered to the fact that not only were they doing the meal and how they had the volunteers and everything running like that, but they opened their doors like 3 hours early before the meal because they had barbers and hairstylists and clothes banks and just all of these different things for these people that, didn't have nothing.
Yeah.
And counselors and such.
Yeah.
And
so rewarding. If you look at volunteering, literally, physiologically, when you volunteer, oxytocin gets released into your system. And they call it the helper's high. Some endorphins, just like runner's high, there's actually chemicals that get released in your body when you do good for someone else. So I always say it makes you feel good. Hey, you'll feel good. It, literally, this physiological reasons. When these volunteers come in the morning, their heads are down. You can tell they're thinking about the day ahead or the problems they had last night. When they leave, their heads are up. They're looking at the sky. They're smiling. It's fascinating to watch the difference
and I can
in
also,
their countenance.
You got to also think about, you know, it's not just doing good, but being part of something.
Yes,
you're part. You're part of a group. You're part of a team. You're, because we have gotten so far away from each other.
Yeah.
We've reduced the whole world down to sound bites and tweets. I mean, I watch people my own age just staring at their phone all day long. One of the reasons I do this show the way I do it, when you said, how long do you want me? I'm like, I'm going to take it as long as I can get you. Because I'll be listening to something, and because of the nature of television or certain radio programs, someone comes on, they talk for 5 minutes, and they're gone. Yeah. And all they did was hit these little points, and so what?
And no depth, yeah.
There's no...
Yeah, we're also blessed with these corporations in town, whether it's Capital One or SunTrust or Dominion or the Federal Reserve or CarMax. I mean, it just goes on and on. They love to have their teams come volunteer. It's great team building.
It's excellent
great
team building.
Great socialization, great team building. And they always set a goal, like how many backpacks did, what's the record? All right, we're going to beat that. You know, it's just all these overachievers. We're blessed with them, but it's fun to watch.
Everybody, I thought we were going to go to the corn maze like we did last year, but instead we're going to do something that makes sense. We're going to feed more. Oh, see
fun,
that
fun to watch.
Honest God, the fact that you come from corporate and that always seemed like hell to me. That seemed like the worst place on the planet to be.
Yeah,
and it's just because of who I am.
Yeah, I mean, we all you know, I changed jobs a lot. I loved corporate because I could do a lot of different things. And I was I was a sales guy at IBM for half my 20-year career, and good fit for me. And you know, the corporations that do good, we talked about Mark Smith a little bit. You know, he's just a great guy. And Midas, you know, if your car's in trouble, go visit one of the Midas shops. He's a brilliant, wonderful guy. But that's the companies that have the cause marketing. A lot of smaller firms are doing that now, right? They're good folks. They're making money. They're paying their bills, and they're close enough to the society and to the public that they know they got to help out. So anytime you get any firm that talks about the group they give back to, whether it's us or Caritas or the Red Cross or who knows what it is, give them your business.
My dad cooks for Caritas. Yeah. That's the bus, right?
And I don't know if they're still having folks come to the churches, you know, and spend the night. I used to do that a lot with my kids.
Once a year, he would go in he'd cook spaghetti dinner for everybody.
Yeah, with my kids in church, you know, I wouldn't just cook. I'd have them go out and eat with these folks.
Yeah, that's part of it.
You know, you got to get to know who they are. It's amazing some of the stories of these folks.
The community Thanksgiving I was telling you about, the volunteers have to sit down and eat with the people coming in. It's just a bond. It's a community thing, which, let's face it, Richmond's pretty good when it comes to being community.
You know, it's a stunning place with a big heart. It is. It's exceptional. It is way above the norm.
My name is Richard McCann. I'm joined by Doug Pick from Feed More. Give us a call, 833-804-1140. When we get back, backpack program, and then we're out of here.
Yeah, man.
I want to talk about it. This is The Home Show. McCann News Radio, WRVA. If you and yours want a dog, I'm telling you, a dachshund.
A dachshund.
They're small. Their poop is small.
Well, that helps.
They're smart.
Yeah. Well, the love of my life, Jerry, she is a nut for Basset Hounds.
No.
So, and I love Labs.
I'd go with Basset Hound. You know what you're going to hear all the time?
And they follow their noses. You can lose them.
Yeah.
Which will break your heart.
I never thought I would want a small dog. He has not just changed our home. He's changed our home.
Yeah.
He's made our relationship
family. Oh.
Even better.
Isn't that something?
It's incredible. Of course, he is totally imprinted on her.
Right.
Okay. So when she leaves for work, he's just like, I'm going to sleep. And he'll sleep all the day long until she comes home. When she works from home, he's bouncing off the walls. And she's like, what? You told me he sleeps all day. Like, because he doesn't like me as much as you.
You ever wonder who's his favorite? Are you?
I can answer that question really easily. See where he's sleeping?
Oh, there it is.
Right on her head.
Cute.
That's
that cute.
It's amazing. So let's talk about the backpack program before we run out of time.
Yeah, amazing.
What is the backpack program?
Yeah, so let's talk about these kids. So remember, there's 47,000 children who aren't sure their next meal is coming from. So if you've ever gone to a free reduced lunch school on Monday morning, it's something to behold. These kids come running off the bus, laughing, skipping, singing, whistling. Whereas my kids, growing up, I had to drag them into school with a rope on Monday morning, right?
Right.
And me too. And the answer is because they haven't eaten all weekend.
Wow.
And so they get breakfast at these free reduced lunch schools. So the backpacks are for those kids. In the city of Richmond, we work hand in glove with communities and schools, CIS, a group run by a fellow named Harold Fitzrow. It's a wonderful, wonderful group. And they know who the kids are that really need this. They know they're in the elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to a guidance counselor, not quite. And they know who needs it. So we hand out 2,000 backpacks a weekend for these children to have a chance to have six meals. Now, it's in cans, right? It has to be shelf. It's not the healthiest, not as much as I'd want, but goodness, they're getting fed.
There's some peanut butter in there.
There's some Chef Boyardee and this and that. But they're getting fed, right? And so that's so important because kids, if you just imagine any of us who've missed two meals. It takes your attention away. You're like, I'm starving. I can't wait to eat. Now imagine being a child who hadn't eaten in a day and a half or 2 days. How do you concentrate in school? So we think it's so important
Look after that. I am a firm believer that something is better than nothing. I'm going to sew it onto a pillow.
Yeah, yeah.
And calories are calories. Something in the belly is something in the belly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's no federal reimbursement for any of that. That's something we do out of our donors, out of the good of their hearts. And the other program while we're on it, Richard, we do in our rural areas is we do school market programs. Because often there's more than one child in that family, right? So there's one backpack, one child. And it doesn't feed the whole family. Now, we have our agencies and our pantries around the rural areas, but they're not as prolific as they are in the city. So our school market programs, we will bring in a whole truck of a balanced meal. And the beauty of this is the teachers, guidance counselors, and principals are the volunteers. So the whole family comes in, and many times these parents have never met the moms and dads. Because, you know, you don't go running around to school. You live in the country. It's 30, 40 miles to school. So they get to meet them for the first time. And we don't try to do social engineering. But when you get parents into the school building and they meet the teachers and whatnot, good things happen.
The
parents involved.
I was reading about a school, and I do not remember where it was because I was skimming it. And that particular school, what they were doing is the leftovers from lunch got packed.
Yep. Yep.
Got sealed up.
If they can do that.
And sent them home.
Off they go, as long as they do it that day and it's food safety. But this program out in the rural areas, the school markets, we have five now. We're going to move to 11 next year. We got a wonderful grant from the legislators in the state of Virginia for the first time in a long time to do some of that. And that's going to really help. Those folks are so grateful for that when they get that in those rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting left behind. And I know there's not the jobs. And I know how the world works. But, boy, they're good folks and need to get looked after.
Everybody deserves to eat.
I think so.
You know,
what we believe.
And it might not be the best food in the world. Okay.
And remember, the vast majority of the people we're helping are the working poor.
Right.
I really want people to understand that. By the percentages, these folks have income, just not enough.
Oh, I had a friend. I had a friend. She had two kids.
Yeah.
And she hated it.
Yeah.
She hated it, but she knew it.
That's what you have to do.
There may be
10% of the folk out there that are trying to take advantage of our system or the system. It's kind of hard to do. And in business, I never worry about managing to the 10%. They can be who they are, and their, you know, life will catch up with it.
I'm a firm believer of the 10 and the 10 on both spectrums. There's 10% that are angels, and there's 10% that are demons.
Yeah.
And most everybody you know is in between. You know, if you go to church, 10% of the group does all the work. And 10% showed up and was upset because Gladys didn't make her potato salad. That's just the law of average of whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so give us your website one more time.
Yeah, feedmore.org. Any food drives you see out there, please feel free to participate. Money works because my purchasing power, as you can imagine, is far greater than yours. So the $5 you spend on the green beans, I can get, you know, four times what you get.
When there's a disaster, I say, just donate money to you.
Yeah.
Just donate money.
Because moving everything, logistics costs so much money. Money is what you need. And then please, time is everything. Service, you know, we couldn't do what we do without those, the two times as many volunteers each day as we have employees. So you know, it's food, it's your time and your service, and it's your funds. And just a huge thanks to the people out there in this community. I've been in a number of communities in my life, and this is, stands above all of them by a long shot. So thank you, Richmond. Thank you, Central Virginia. Thank you, Richard. This has been a real joy.
This has been
a joy. You're quite good. He's something to behold.
Tell my boss that, all right? That's what we need. All right, well, look, I do want to thank Douglas.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling you Douglas.
Okay.
Doug Puck. Pick. Pike.
Yeah, call me anything you want, not late for dinner.
That's whatever you want. From Feedmore, I really appreciate you coming in. This is your own personal time. It's the weekends, and I know a lot of people that are just like, I'm not good. It's my Saturday. I'm not messing with you. I think you guys are doing great work. You ever have any special events going on, you call me up, and
Wonderful. We
will make sure everybody knows about it.
We will do that.
Come on down.
People get your picture taken.
I will take a ride
down
there.
You're a handsome man.
Oh, look at you. My name is Richard McCann. That's McKANN. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Go to WRVA, download podcast. Oh, my God. It's time to go, Jordan. That is another Home Show in the Can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early, pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. I want to thank Doug from Feedmore for coming in and telling us what it's all about. Help out if you can. I'm here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 until noon, taking your calls at 833-804-1140. You can contact me, Richard McCann, at hotmail.com. Whether you got a question or you need a home inspection, this is the Home Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.